But how are we going to get after that as a guard, as an Army guard of 328,000, Air Guard of 105 plus thousand? How are we going to get after those things? So the way that we've decided to get after that is, hey, we're going to start with families, right, and warfighters. So those two things we're going to start with, and then we're going to go and we're going to focus on readiness, partnerships, and modernization, and we're just going to keep spinning on those two things. We call them RPM, so therefore everybody can remember them. Yep. You always talk about a tachometer because, you know, revolutions per minute.
Yep.
But in this case, it's not revolutions for a minute. It's readiness, partnerships, and modernization.
I'm Joe Seemandel, and welcome to Raven Conversations. And today I'm joined by an extremely incredible special guest, Senior Enlisted Advisor for the National Guard, Senior Enlisted Advisor, I'm going to probably end up saying Sergeant Major a few times, John Raines, and his wife Karen are here, actually in Washington with us this weekend, talking to soldiers and airmen, kind of seeing what the Washington Guard does, and they were had a brief time to come and join us on the podcast, so I appreciate you guys joining us.
Thank you.
It's great, great to be in Washington.
Yeah, so we'll kind of get into the meat potatoes of being the seventh Senior Enlisted Advisor for the National Guard and the First Army, as we were just talking, but we'll go right into it, because I know your time is precious. And we want to get you guys out and seeing this beautiful state. So brief intro and background on yourselves.
Yeah. Hey, John Raines, I got to correct you first, though. So I'm not the first Army, you know, to be in the position as the senior enlisted advisor to the chief. So, but I'm the first that's got the title SEA.
Okay.
So I'm number seven, like you said, all together. So I think we're about half and half now. So, and I don't know what side the four or the three falls on. I can't remember, but it's outside the door in my office, so I should be able to tell you that. but yeah, so I'm the first one to wear the rank, but only two of us have wore the rank.
Okay.
One Air before me and one Army before that. They were just considered whatever their service rank was, CSM or Chief Master Sergeant.
Yeah.
So, but no, I guess that's a start a little bit about me, but I'm going to talk about the beautiful woman sitting beside me first. My wife, Karen, of 36 years, you know, we've got family's important to me, so I'll start there. We've got two kids, adult kids, you know, a daughter, Stephanie, who's 36, she'll correct me, or she's already looking at me, 35, and a son, Ricky, who is 33. And then we've got a daughter-in-law, Brittany, who's married to my son. And then we've got four beautiful granddaughters,
yes.
You know, 11, 5, 4,
and almost 18
almost
months.
18 months. Yes. You know, I look over there at her, just make sure I'm right on this. So she can tell you all the birthdays,
yes.
And all the important dates and
that's
all those
right.
things. But that's, you know, that's the foundational piece. We always talk about core values. You know, I talk about God, family, country, and service. So I always like to start with the family and talk about the family piece. But been in the military just about as long as we've been married. So we got married in June of 89 and joined the military in August mm-hmm. of 89. So 30, it's easy to remember, which is good.
Yeah, it makes 30, it easy, right?
Right?
When they're right about the same time.
same stuff. But that's just the start, and I figure, you know, we'll get into a lot of the other stuff as we go along, but I'll let Karen say what she wants to say.
Well, good morning. I'm Karen, and it's just a pleasure being here today, and I love our military families, love our spouses, love everything that they bring, so it's a joy to just get to travel today with John and spend some time in this beautiful state of Washington and met some wonderful airmen and soldiers yesterday. So looking forward to the week.
Yeah. So always the question, I think, is a good kind of setting question. And it's everyone has an interesting guard story. And yours is combined, right? You've been married before joining the military.
That's right.
So how did you guys, one, learn about joining the military? And two, how did you learn about the National Guard?
Well, you know, my military life actually started in the active duty Army. So we were a young, you know, couple dating, and got married very young. And of course, I needed a job, you know. So started looking around for, hey, what are we going to do? She had a sister, older sister, whose husband was in the military, in the Air Force, and we're from an Air Force town, Montgomery, Alabama. But I didn't really, that, you know, everybody thinks, hey, why didn't you join the Air Force? You know, of course you know something about the Air Force because you're from this Air Force town. But that's not really true. We often miss that, and we think that people are around bases know everything about, right, you know, the military there.
And that we know everyone that's on the base.
That's right. I knew absolutely zero people that were in the military, had no family that had served or anything. So we're at one of those super recruiting stations that have everybody there. And we're sitting out in the parking lot. And, you know, I tell this story, you know, why I came in the Army was because the Army recruiter happened to be the one that being the most observant. And he walked out into the parking lot and knocked on the window of the car and said, hey, you know, what are you guys doing? What's going on?
Just sitting here.
That started a 36-year journey in the Army, but 9 years of that in the regular Army. And then when I got out of the regular Army, I was pretty successful soldier. I was, you know, I was an infantryman, you know, airborne ranger qualified, getting ready to go to special forces, been through the selection process. But my dad was always calling me, wanting me to come home and be a firefighter. Mm-hmm. He was a firefighter in the Montgomery Fire Department. And he just caught me during a good time period. It was the way the Army does things. They send everybody to school in the summer. So I went through the selection process in January. I wasn't supposed to start the Q course until August. So I'm sitting there, you know, not really doing a whole lot. And for the first time in my Army career, we were not busy. And then the unit I was in, the 101st, they were getting ready to do some things, but they knew that I wouldn't go with them since I was going to go to the Q course, you know, in August. So it was really just kind of a downtime period in my career in the Army. And we decided to, hey, we're not going to Fort Bragg to start the Q course. Let's go back home and I'll go be a firefighter. So,
and been in the Guard ever since.
Well, the guard piece was that, hey, an in-service recruiter from the Guard, when I come in, of course, I didn't know this at the time. I knew nothing about the Guard. But you have to go and take your clearing papers to an in-service recruiter. We still have those in-service recruiters at mm-hmm. every major installation in the Army. So you have to go and see them. I didn't want to give away, you know, 9, coming up on 10 years of service. So they found an officer walking down the hallway. He come down and, you know, I raised my right hand and I swore into the Alabama National Guard,
man,
you know, exiting the regular Army.
And I wonder if that officer who was walking down the hall is like, hey, I swear that guy into the Guard, and it just so happens here you are, almost 30 years later.
That's
so
right.
That's impressive. Yeah, it's those random people in those random times. You just walk into an office, and it's like, hey, and you said it best. You don't want to give up that 9 years. You had 9 years of service to that point.
That's right.
So, yeah. Karen, anything you want to add into that?
Just about the Guard, this was all new to me, too. I mean, I was not aware of anything about the Guard. And then after September 11th happened and he come back full-time Guard, you know, that was a difference because I really didn't understand all the differences in the regular Guard, the traditional, or the full-time. So it's been a joy being on this side too. It's been wonderful being a part of an active Army first and then going through the process, and it's kind of given me a little bit more knowledge, the differences of them, and then now I like to share and try to bring awareness about the Guard and what all we bring to the table.
I think the families bring a ton. My wife and I talk about all the time how much the families really do make the Guard that family piece.
Yes.
So we'll shift real quick from the family piece and we'll just kind of go to you there, SEA. So talk about the position. You're the 7th ever SEA for the National Guard, which is directly, you work directly with the Chief of the National Guard Bureau. So what is the position itself? What is it you're focused on and your priorities?
Well, you know, me and the Chief, you know, have the same priorities. You know, we get those priorities from, you know, higher. So the higher to us is the administration, you know. So the administration brings a pretty simple challenge to our military, no matter what branch you're in. You know, hey, we've got to establish deterrence, peace through strength, you mm-hmm. know, and that is it. Hey, let's make our military the strongest military on the face of the earth. So therefore our enemies do not want to challenge us or our way of life. So that's what it all starts with, right? And then we're led by civilians. So the Secretary of Defense, you know, he comes in and he establishes three things, you know, get back after the warrior ethos, rebuild the military, and reestablish deterrence. So you take those, and that's the foundational building blocks of the chief and I's priorities. And then we come down and you know, we set up, how are we going to accomplish this? You know, how are we going to get after those three things? And then the priorities, there's some priorities laid under there, you know, like lethality, meritocracy, standards. There's some things like that that are laid under there. But how are we going to get after that as a guard, as an Army guard of 328,000, Air Guard of 105 plus thousand? How are we going to get after those things? So the way that we've decided to get after that is, hey, we're going to start with families, right, and warfighters. So those two things we're going to start with, and then we're going to go and we're going to focus on readiness, partnerships, and modernization, and we're just going to keep spinning on those two things. We call them RPM, so therefore everybody can remember them. Yeah. You always talk about a tachometer because, you know, revolutions per minute.
Yep.
But in this case, it's not revolutions for a minute. It's readiness, partnerships, and modernization. And we're just going to spin inside those, and we're going to get better at everything we do. We're going to focus on those three things. And at the end of the day, if we're successful, that's going to produce strength, you know, mm-hmm. and get tied right back to the administration's priorities right. of peace through strength. And that's where we want to be, because we don't want to go to war with anybody, but we want to be ready if we do have to go to war. And we want to be able to, you know, out product of that is going to be, hey, they're so strong, they're so capable, you know, that, hey, nobody wants to challenge us on a modern battlefield.
Right. It's kind of that back to basics, yeah. right back to the basics of what the military is and who we are as a force. So and making sure our members are trained on their tasks and their skills. So I mean, they're ready to go if needed. So I appreciate that. You mentioned families already, and we talk about the importance, and right, you two right here, I would say first family for the National Guard is sitting right here outside of the chief and his wife. You know, so that's important. Talk about that structure of family and why it's so important. As we mentioned, the Guard is family, right? I think
yes,
23 years in the Guard myself,
yes.
I can't look across this formation and not see somebody I've served with, I've spent time with, or that has watched my daughter grow up. Yeah. And so I imagine it's the same for you guys. So kind of highlight that.
Yes, it is. I love our Guard family. I mean, our military family in general. And we just all, you know, you have something in common there. And I often joke that sometimes those Guard family, military family, I love being around more than my actual blood family because I get to choose them. And, you know, sometimes in real families, that's not always the case, but I have a wonderful family, so I'm just joking about that. But love our military family, and just to be there to be able to support them. We've got Shannon and General Nordhaus, wonderful family people as well. So we just have that in common, and love what we can do and bring to them. And anytime I can support spouses or families, because I just know the importance of us standing there and being there for our soldiers and airmen to make sure that they're happy and taken care of so that they can do their mission. And so just thinks that the families bring that to the table, like you said earlier. I mean, it's just, it's what kind of keeps us strung together is just our relationships with others, that connection and that networking with all of the Guard families and members.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about recruiting, you know, and that's the lifeblood of our organization, you know, because we always have people that are, you know, aging out, mm-hmm. retiring out. We got to replace them. We got to bring new. So recruiting is our lifeblood. And we say we recruit, you know, the service member, but we retain the family.
Yeah.
You know, most of our force is, you know, married, has significant other these days. So, you know, I always tell, you know, people as I've traveled around, you know, the country, the world, and I'm talking about who wants to be part of an organization that, you know, they're not connected. They don't know each other. They don't know each other's families. You know, they don't know each other's situations. I want to be in an organization that, hey, you know, when I'm moving, I don't have to tell somebody that I'm moving. They're say, you know, they're calling me, and they're, yeah. and we're just through normal conversation. Man, this weekend, hey, I got to move, and you know, and I don't have to ask for help. You know, they then pick up the phone and call the other members and say, right. hey, man, John's moving this weekend. Let's get our pickup trucks. Let's go over there. Let's help out. Let's go move. You know, that's the organization. Nobody yeah. wants to be a part of an organization that, hey, you go to drill and then you leave drill. You don't hear from anybody. And then, you know, you got to show up to drill to figure out what's going on, you know, the next month. You know, that's not what we want. That's not the desire. People, you know, crave a connection with people. And I think that's the huge thing, you know, with the Guard and the successful places that I go. We got to hang out with Alan and Courtney, mm-hmm. The CCEL for the Washington National Guard, and his wife last night.
Yes.
And I don't know how many different, I didn't count them all, but there were a number of senior enlisted leaders there, both Air and Army, with their spouses.
Yes.
And we got to hang out and just, you know, connect. You know, work on relationship piece, because we're in a relationship business, and you can't have relationships without knowing each other.
That is absolutely correct.
Yes, we often say, you know, he was talking about the recruiting piece, but the retaining piece, you have to have a happy family. Mm-hmm. And because I know spouse plays an important role in that with their career, because if spouse is not happy with what's going on with the military service, it's real easy to talk them out of going ahead and getting out. So, yeah. You know, if we can keep spouses and families happy, taking care of them, that's what makes them a little bit happier and stay in the service a longer time.
Yeah, and you guys are both highlighting something that I learned actually from our current commanding general, General Paul Sellers, when I was in ROTC, which, once again, relationships, right? I've known him for almost 20 years of my life. It's transparency and predictability, and those are the two things we should be able to bring to our military families. And not just the families, but the employers, right? Yeah. Well, we're talking about 430,000 enlisted members of the National Guard. 350,000 of them are part-time soldiers or airmen, and they have an employer somewhere. So I imagine it's kind of the same thing with that critical, you know, success, you know, mission success for us with the employers as well, is the same things that we're kind of looking at with the families.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And hey, 433,000, don't take those three from us now. So, but yeah, that predictability piece that you said and transparency is huge. I mean, you can't come in and drop something on your, you know, employer, you know, right at the last minute and say, hey, you know, the Guard needs me. Although that does happen in emergency cases, but you can't make, you know, that be all the time. And as much, you know, lead time as you can give, you know, family's no different. The family and the employer is part of that three-legged stool, you know, service member, family, and employer, that we have to, you know, always be in tune with and in touch with. And we do that by being transparent, you know, communicating, getting back to relationships again. It's not just relationships between service members, but it's service members, families, you know, service members, families, employers. We have to have that relationship piece right. So we do have, that's the only way you have transparency and predictability, if you have those relationships and there is communication going on. But yeah, it's hugely important.
I mean, I agree with him. The transparency, just being authentic, real, letting them know what's going on, being open and sharing, having that connection, that network and such. So, yes, totally agree with the employers. We have some wonderful employers that takes care of our military families.
So, and you kind of hit it a little bit with the priority piece, but I think for both you guys, this is one of those questions when we talk about military families, military employers, especially with guardsmen, and then the members themselves. What are some priorities you guys are looking at to bring in your tenure that says, hey, I think we move the needle forward a little bit for the organization as a whole?
I think, you know, we've really already hit on it, the communication piece. You know, when I took this job, well, even before I got selected for the job, I had reached out to, you know, some senior enlisted leaders, reached out to some TAGs and asked them about the position and said, hey, what do you think about the position? And not to speak bad, you know, about anybody that's been in a position or anything. It's just different times, different things going on. You always want to be moving forward.
Right.
So a lot of what I got is, well, I'm not really sure what the SCA is doing. You know, I'm not really sure how he's, you know, going to, you know, assist in these things. So it was all hitting me, man. You know, that's a perception. It may not be reality, but it's a perception. Yeah. And if they don't know what you're doing, you're not bringing that transparency, you know, you're not communicating, you know, hey, what you're doing, then that's a problem. So I said, hey, I'm going to, you know, try to make the communication and close that gap in communication. So I've set a couple of things in place to where, You know, we always do these 54 calls. The boss would do a tag call with the 54, you know, the 50 states, three territories, District of Columbia on there, and we'll talk. You know, we'll talk about, you know, current situation, what's going on. But how can you have a conversation with 54 people at one time?
It's tough. It we do the same one on the PA side right afterwards.
It is very, very tough. So what I started doing is I said, man, I'm not even going to do that. We do it every week. I said, I'm not going to do that every week. I'm going to do that every other month. Because really, it's we're putting out information. So I'm going to put out information every other month, and I'm going to have these three-on-one calls because that takes me 18 working days, three-on-one, 54.
Right.
You know, it takes me. And three-on-one, you can have a conversation. You can get to know the people. Yeah. So, you know, you can let them talk about what they want to talk about. So I've been doing that with the 54 C-cells, three-on-one. Takes 18 days out of my month. Worked in with my training schedule. It's tough, right? So, but it's got to be a priority, and we got to communicate. And every time I have that 301, I always end it with, hey, you know, 301s are great. We can have some dialogue back and forth. It doesn't take the place of a one-on-one. If you need me, call me. So every one of them have my personal cell phone number. They can call. They can reach out. So that's one of the things is the communication piece. The other thing is you haven't seen a lot of – we talk about families are important. Well, you know, it's like when you talk about PT is important, nobody's ever seen you in PT uniform. You know?
Yeah.
How important is it?
Yeah.
Well, if I say family's important, but you don't know my family and you never seen me with my family,
yeah.
You know, is it really important? So Karen sitting right here beside me right now on your podcast, you know, it's helping that. You know, her going with me to all the places that she can go with me. You know, helps send that message. Hey, family's really important. And then us just talking about, you know, our family, some of the challenges that we've had, because, you know, it's not always just, you know, hey, roses and rainbows,
right.
You know, there's some challenges when you're raising families and when you're a military family, that gives some unique challenges. So, you know, just saying, hey, you got somebody that's been successful and worked through it for 36 years. You know, we can probably talk about how we got through, you know, challenges and how we're, you know, how we work through the family dynamics and those things. And then I know that me and General Nordhaus, you know, if he were here, he would probably put his fingers up like that and say, that's me and the SEA.
Yes.
You know, you see there's no separation. And one of the cool things is he's been in 36 years. Him and Shannon have been married 36 years.
Look at that.
Same.
So, you know, they've got a few more kids than we have.
Who got married first between the two of you guys? Like,
They did.
Just a few days.
Yes.
Wow.
A few days. Yeah.
That's impressive, to have that kind of battle buddy relationship.
Yes. It's a wonderful relationship, and Shannon is wonderful. We have a great relationship. She's very supportive of our families, and that's just a big concern of ours is just the care for our families and making sure they're taken care of and just building those relationships are just everything.
Yeah. And you guys, that kind of relationship is exactly what you build in the Guard, right? You can develop those over time. Yes. I have many friends. My current Sergeant Major, I think you probably met him yesterday, Sergeant Major Dvorak at the 122nd. Me and him talk probably daily. And not just about unit stuff, right?
Sure.
We talk about our kids and what they're doing, and it's so amazing to build those relationships, and that's how the Guard is. You can kind of build that throughout time, too. Mm-hmm. You hit on the dynamics of being a Guard family, and I wrote down this question, but you kind of already hit it. So I think creative solutions to complex problems, and I think in a family, you have complex problems every once in a while that pop up that have a creative solution to it. And I imagine it's no different than in your seats right now where you're at in the Guard. So how do you guys bring that knowledge of being mom and dad and now grandpa and grandma to a force that goes from 60 to 18 years old, actually 17 years old, that have generational gaps, right, between them? The 17-year-olds and the sergeant majors at the top probably don't speak the same language. So how do you have creative solutions to some of those problems?
You know, I think it's just life. You know, you live it and you have the experiences that you have and you share both, because we can learn from both successes and failures. So you'd be willing to share both, you know, and you know, we think that, hey, things are so different today than they were yesterday, but there's a piece in that equation that's not different. You know, you and I aren't different. You know, we haven't evolved that much as mankind and human beings, so we still look pretty much the same you know, at least in my, you know, 45 years I've been alive. Now, of course, I'm a little older than that, but you know, mankind still looks the same, and you know, we're that common thing. Yeah, we got new technologies, and you know, I wouldn't have dreamed of doing a podcast back when I first started my military role, but that's just an enabler to be able to share and share, you know, your experiences, so people don't have to do discovery learning. Now, nothing wrong with discovery learning. Sometimes the best way to learn is just experience something yourself. But you shouldn't have to do that with everything in this world, you know. And I think that's the piece, is share both successes, share failures, you know. Share your goals, your challenges, you know. Throw those things out there. I know that motivates me a lot of time. I'll go to physical fitness, you know. If I don't throw something out there in front of me, I'm going to get lazy, and I'm not going to want to. I'm going to hit that snooze button in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, if I throw something out there, you know, okay, that might keep me a little bit motivated, but if I tell everybody, hey, I'm gonna run the Army 10-miler,
yeah,
you know, and I talk about it, then I don't want to let everybody else down, and I'm like, man, you know, I've told everybody this thing. So I think just that communication piece, yeah, and sharing things, throwing challenges out there, sharing failures, you know, I get to be the SEA, you know, to the 433,000, so everybody automatically thinks, man, he's role model soldier. You know, you don't make it to that level without stepping on it. You know, you got to step on it. You know, you got to make mistakes. You got to learn from those mistakes. But everybody thinks, the perception is that, nope, you make it to that level by being perfect. You know, but that's not the truth. If you never messed up, you would not grow, and you would not, you know, improve yourself. And that is on the family side as well. You know.
Yeah.
And I would say, just dealing with struggles or anything that's been through the years, or anything with the children, marriage or anything, is just taking it to God. Our faith is very strong based, and that's just always been our number one in our family. And that's how, just the strength and just knowing our guidance and such comes from Him and our faith. And that comes through in our marriage, and I hope that it comes through in our love for others. So that's just been important to us. That's really the basis of everything.
So we've kind of touched on a lot of topics, and Karen, you brought it up. Faith is definitely, yes, important, especially in a marriage. And we were kind of chatting before. So you're an Alabama guy. You're an Auburn girl.
Yes.
You know, right there, it's a household divided, but it comes together in love.
Yes.
You know, 36 years of marriage, how do you make it work? What are the things? Because not every day is going to be perfect, right?
That's right.
You know, full-time active duty, full-time National Guard, part-time National Guard, as a firefighter even. Mm-hmm. What are the things that have worked for you guys that just the fundamentals that work?
I would say faith being number one. That's just something we both had in common. That's something that's very important to both of us, putting that number one. And then our strength with each other. You know, that's my best friend. He's my everything. So just having that time, even if it's just an afternoon here and there, it's usually a nightly time that we just relax in our bath together, that we can just go over the day and anything, you know, I want him to be able to share if there's, you know, if he's had a hard day. But I also love all the good stuff too. So I love when he comes home and shares all the wonderful stories and the people that he's met along the way. That's just important to me. But just us spending that quality time together and just knowing that we're best friends.
Yeah, no doubt. I would say, you know, getting back to the Auburn Alabama thing and the challenges, you know, some of us get used to losing, and some of us, you know, win. But together, you know, as a team, we can share, you know, losing and winning, and grow. But no, really and truly, you can't talk about your love for service, you know, and then your love for family, and then keep them separated. You know, you got to bring them together, you know. And that's what I tell all of the soldiers and airmen that I come in, because we run into a lot of younger, you know, couples. Mm-hmm. And we get that question all the time, you know, hey, you know, you think, they ask me, hey, do you think Miss Karen would, you know, mind talking to my spouse? You know, she's kind of struggling with the, you know, the military doesn't understand it. And they feel that pull, yeah. You know, hey, I got to make a decision. Well, you don't have to make a decision, yeah. You know, bring them both together. You got a passion for both, bring them together. And man, that, you know, that's going to be double the enjoyment. You yeah. know, if you keep them separated, there's going to be a whole lot more, you know, difficulties in trying to balance those things. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, the ability to have Karen by my side on a lot of the things I've done. Obviously, she hasn't gone on deployments, but if she knows something about the Guard before we go on a deployment, you know, she's still connected. She yeah. can yes. still go and talk to other family members, you mm-hmm. know, while you're gone, you know, and discover problems and discover, you know, solutions to problems without the service member being present. And, you know, and we've experienced that, you know, I can't tell you how many mm-hmm. time periods we've been separated. And when she said it earlier in the podcast, she talked about sometimes, you know, feel like, you know, our military family is stronger than our family. Well, sometimes that's because of degrees of separation, you know, and not just, you know, geographic separation, but, you know, separation and understanding what you do, you mm-hmm. know, and, you know, they share that in common. We share that in common with each other, our service, you know, our families, how our families are melded into, you know, our service together. And that becomes hugely important in just winning every day. And really, that's what it comes down to. How do you survive, you know, 36 years in service? How do you, you know, and I won't say survive 36 years of marriage, but how do you prosper in 36 years of marriage? How do you get better 1 year to the next year? It's those type things, you know, being able to win every single day, yeah. and just don't take any day for granted.
Yeah, and I imagine it's very much like, you know, the same thing for us. When I walk in the door after a day, it could be a good day, a bad day, it doesn't matter. When I walk in the door, the first thing I see is the photos of our family right there, and I completely then go back to, you know what, whatever was bad is outside. It's no longer an issue. Yeah. It's now, let's enjoy the time together right. that we have. And I imagine it's very similar for you guys.
Yes, both, yeah, so. He's always been great about just leaving it at the door. And then he becomes pap, pap, because little ones are going to be around with their arms open, ready for pap, pap to play. He's going to become that husband that I love, that we just get to have that quality time together and just share the day. And even when he's had bad days, just to be there and just love on him a little bit more. So.
I'll tell you a funny story is, you know, and I share this with soldiers all the time. I when I'm driving, you know, that's when I make my telephone calls. Mm-hmm. And I call and I keep in contact with the people that, you know, I just go down to Rolodex sometime who I hadn't talked to in a while, and I'll call them. I'll return all my missed calls. And I'm doing my work, you know. Now, I get a little longer to do that in the D.C. area because traffic's a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot more sitting.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So when I get in the driveway, and she knows that I'm doing this because she will sometimes she'll be going somewhere, and I won't get out of the car. I'll stay in the car, you know, finishing my stuff before I go inside. And then I'll go inside. So sometimes she'll come out and she'll see me on the telephone. She'll wave and she'll go do her thing and then come back, you know. But I encourage soldiers to do that. Hey, yeah. You know, try to take care of your stuff. You know, business is going to work its way into the household. And that's why it's important that both of you, you know, have that same, you know, passion to serve, one from the family side and one from the military side. But you also need just family time, too.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I think that's important. And I probably have done the same thing a number of times where I'm sitting on a call in the driveway. My wife will look out because
right.
she works from home and she'll just like wave and that's it. So right. It's kind of funny. So, you know, so I think I wanted to take the direction of this. Like I said, I listened to a number of podcasts. Is there anything that we didn't mention that you wanted to mention before we kind of close that we haven't mentioned? I really wanted to focus this on family. Yeah. I think it's important. Yeah. So.
No, that's hugely important. I mean, I think, you know, we told you what our priorities. Karen said it a couple of times, you know, not all of them and not at the same time, but you've heard me say God, family, country, service. You know, those things are the focus of what's made us have 36 years of successful marriage. 36 years of successful being in this uniform. And, you know, but I would be remiss if I didn't talk about, you know, what our guardsmen are doing out there. And things like this are hugely important to tell our story, because there's a lot of people out there that still think the Guard is, man, 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. But everywhere I go, no matter what day of the week is, and I'm on the road probably 40 weeks out of the year, and I get to see guardsmen, you know, doing just, you know, incredible things in the warfight, you know, in the homeland, you know, with partnerships, which those are our three tenant, you know, missions for the National Guard. And we're not doing them just on the weekend and 2 weeks out of the summertime. We're doing them every single day. You know, we are 40% of the operational Army, 30% of the operational Air Force. Operational means day in, day out. They can't do the job without us. And we are a critical piece of the joint warfighting concept and defending this homeland and defending this nation. And, you know, and I'm telling you, as much as we could tell that story, you know, so everybody knows, you know, that what our guardsmen are doing. And they're not just, you know, they're not just hanging out on a weekend and 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're not just sitting in an armory somewhere on a weekend chatting with each other. They're working towards an actual mission that's happening in real time. So, no, I appreciate that, SEA, and sharing that. Anything else before we close? And Karen, anything?
I think that's great. I mean, I'm happy to just share and being here today. And I love that he gets to share the Guard story, because that's important for us to know, because often we hear that they're just a weekend warriors, and they offer so much more. And just the importance of knowing how they do their drill time, and they do their deployments, and they do their missions, but also they have regular jobs every day as well, and families, and it's a lot. And we love our military, we love our guardsmen, we love our families. So we're here to support them, be there for them, and just share the love. And I hope they'll always know that I care. And they can always come to me for support. Spouses are welcome to call me anytime, and I'll be glad to share our struggles, our successes, and just everything that's about the Guard and the military.
Yeah, and thank you for the Washington National Guard just giving us this opportunity to come out and visit with them and develop some of those relationships we talked about earlier, and just see some of the success that's going on here. I mean, I was over at the R&R Battalion, and, you know, for the Army side, and they were telling me, they've both been recruiters for 20 years here, and they were telling me about that struggle, and then, but then they, you know, they were waiting to get the build up, you know, to tell me where they are now and how they feel. You know, a lot of times it comes down to how you feel about something, and but their numbers back up how they feel right now, you know, and they're on fire. You know, they are excited to what they're doing and the people they're bringing into the Washington National Guard. And that means, you know, if you're bringing in people, you're bringing in and making them part of the team, that means you're doing something right. And as I've been going around visiting with soldiers and airmen, I told you I got to visit with some of their families, with Karen, you know, I can feel that as well. So so I appreciate you guys sharing that with me, because that's one of my jobs is to tell the Guard story. I'm not making the Guard story anymore after 36 years. You know, I'm not. I've rappelled off of mountainsides and jumped out of airplanes and all that. I'm not doing that. I get to listen to you guys' stories now, and then I get to make that my story and go tell the Guard story. So thank you for inviting me here, because I can add it, you know, to what I'm telling, and I guarantee you it'll resonate with somebody that's, you know, wanting to be where you are. They're seeing the successes, and they're saying, hey, and let's maybe we'll call Washington.
Yeah.
Maybe we need one of them podcasts that they got that they're
but
doing.
I appreciate that. And thank you guys for coming out. I truly appreciate it. And like I said, special moment for us. I was very excited. I got a little nervous this morning when I was driving in. Very excited to have you guys join us for this. If you like the video, give it a like. If you want to learn more about the Guard, make sure to subscribe for future videos. Check out the notes for more information, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much.